I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 through 22. God said to Abraham, "As for you, Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she will give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live in your sight." God said, "No, but your wife Sarah shall bear you a son, and you shall name him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will bless him and make him fruitful and exceedingly numerous. He shall be the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this season next year." And when he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim. You know, as I've said in the last couple of weeks, it seems oftentimes when we come to church, we tend to think that we're supposed to be very somber and not very happy. And I'm not really sure how that works if you're really praising the Lord and happy about being blessed. But we do. And yet, God is a God of laughter. And it's all through Scripture. You can find places through Scripture where God's people laugh. And yes, even God laughs. Listen to some of these. Genesis 17:17, which just came out of what Jim read. "Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, 'Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Can Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?'" Would you not be laughing? Genesis 18:12. "So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, 'After I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?'" Genesis 18:13, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?'" Why is that funny? Well, I think we all know that it's funny. Then in Genesis 18:15, "But Sarah denied, saying, 'I did not laugh,' for she was afraid. God said, 'Oh yes, you did laugh.'" And then last, Genesis 21:6, "Now Sarah said, 'God brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me.'" Now, folks, I don't know if you know this, but the name Isaac means laughter. Do you know that? That's why they named him Isaac, because everybody was laughing. It seemed so funny to think that a 90-year-old woman would have a baby. And honestly, I think even God thought it was funny. Lots of laughter. As I said, the Bible is full of laughter, and not just in Genesis, but in many stories throughout the Bible. Laughter has been seen and continues to be considered good medicine and even strong medicine. Laughter draws people together in ways that trigger healthy physical and emotional changes in the body. That is a fact. Laughter strengthens your immune system, boosts mood, diminishes pain, and protects you from damaging effects of stress. That is a fact. If you know someone who is always serious and they're never smiling, 9 times out of 10, they end up with a heart attack or a stroke. They can't see the humor in life, and yet there is so much. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 17, verse 22, which reads, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." This is where the saying about laughter is good medicine comes from. "Laughter is the best medicine" was coined from the first part of this verse, with Mary being associated with being happy and laughing. That's where that comes from. Well, does the psalmist have a good spirit, humorous, funny? Listen, we'll go from Psalm 2, Psalm 37, Psalm 59. "Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and His anointed, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us.' He who sits in the heavens laughs." That would be God. The psalmist saw it. "The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked. Then there's, each evening they come back howling like dogs and prowling about the city. There they are, bellowing with their mouths, with sharp words on their lips. For who, they think, will hear us? But you laugh at them, O Lord." You laugh at them. Some of you may remember Norman Cousins. Norman Cousins was an author. He was a political journalist. And he was a world peace advocate. And he was told back in the 60s that he had a rare crippling disease. When he was diagnosed as incurable, Cousins checked out of the hospital, aware of the harmful effects negative emotions can have on the body. Cousins reasoned the reverse was true. So he borrowed a movie projector and prescribed his own treatment, consisting of the Marx Brothers and old candid camera reruns. It didn't take long for him to discover 10 minutes of laughter. 10 minutes of laughter provided 2 hours of pain-free sleep. Amazingly, his debilitating disease was eventually reversed. After the account of his victory appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine, Cousins received more than 3,000 letters from appreciative physicians throughout the world. His struggle with that illness and his discovery of laugh therapy is detailed in his 1979 book, Anatomy of an Illness as Perceived by the Patient. Being a counselor for the many years that I have, I will tell you there are times that I employ laugh therapy. Some people never heard of it. But especially if I'm dealing with someone that has depression, we get into a session, and if you can get them to laugh, if you can get that depression out long enough for them to enjoy life and to laugh, they start feeling better. Laugh therapy is a real therapy and an effective therapy. Although I don't even have a sense of humor, I use it. And it makes me think of this as a true story. When I came into the ministry in June of 1980, I was an associate minister. The senior minister, John Dowd, who was a close friend of mine, he has passed since, but he and I were very close, and one day we were at a minister's meeting, and there were probably 60, 70 ministers at this meeting, and one of them tells the story of one of the ministers who wasn't at the meeting that we're used to seeing, and he said, it's amazing. He got up in the pulpit, he preached a sermon, it was a powerful sermon. At the end, he said, "Amen," and he fell dead. He fell dead right there in the pulpit. Then John looked at me and said, "I want you to preach next Sunday." And he was serious. It was a scary moment. When someone tells me in a session that Scripture is not very humorous, then I will almost immediately read this one to him. And I think you may see the humor in this. It comes from Acts 20, verses 7 through 12. "On the first day of the week, when we met to break bread, Paul was holding a discussion with them. Since he intended to leave the next day, he continued speaking until midnight. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where we were meeting. A young man named Eutychus, who was sitting in the window, began to sink off into a deep sleep while Paul still talked. Overcome by sleep, he fell to the ground 3 floors below and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and, bending over him, took him in his arms and said, 'Do not be alarmed, for for his life is in him. Then Paul went upstairs, and after he had broken bread and eaten, he continued to converse with them until dawn. Then he left. Meanwhile, they had taken the boy away alive and were not a little comforted. That evokes a lot of questions, and a lot of people laugh because Eutychus fell out of the window and Paul was so long-winded, I'll talk till midnight. Well, now that he's fallen out and he's dead, let's go eat. We'll break some bread and then I'll leave. So he talked until dawn. After reading this, to those who do not think Scripture has humor, I have yet to not have someone laugh because Paul goes upstairs and has something to eat while the kid's laying there dead. They begin to tell stories of long-winded preachers that they have listened to or their family or friends have told them about. And almost always I get this question, are you a long-winded preacher? Naturally, I say, absolutely not. And by the way, did I ever tell you the story? And then they start to laugh again. I had a professor say laughter is the jam on the toast of life. It adds flavor, keeps it from being too dry, and makes it easier to swallow. He told us there is nothing wrong with laughter in the church or from a humorous sermon. And again, so many people think we're supposed to be somber when we come in here. We should be happy. We should be happy anytime we come together. And I'm going to throw it in at this time, too. We should also be happy when we hear the voice of a small child. Oh, my goodness, isn't that great? Let's get some more in here. I love it. I'd love to have a lot of them. So now, this takes me to a story, a personal story of something that happened to me in the Navy, and I can promise you it is the absolute truth and the absolute way it happened. But when I was in the Navy, my commanding officer asked one of the men, a third-class petty officer, to go to the Air Force base to pick up a message. He went. Now, my commanding officer was E.R. Rollins. He had been a captain for 30 years. He was the captain of an aircraft carrier, and trust me, that's like being the captain of a city, okay? And he was a very serious, and I'll say it, a very mean man. He didn't tolerate a lot. But anyway, he asked this third-class petty officer, Benavides, and he said, Benavides, go to the Air Force base and pick up that message. So Benavides did. He got in the car, got this gray car that says U.S. Navy on it, and takes off for the Air Force base. Didn't come back. Captain says, where is he? I said, sir, I haven't heard from him. I don't know. A little bit later, hour or so, we get a call. I answer the phone. It's Benavides. He says, I need help. What's wrong? I ran out of gas. We have a gas station right there on our base, okay? But the captain said, is that him? I said, yes, sir, that's him. Where is he? He ran out of gas. You have never heard a string of foul language as you heard from this man. He said, get him in here and get him in here now. I drove out, filled his tank with gas from a gas can. Benavides came back. I pulled in behind him and I said, the captain wants you in his office right now. No one in that building envied that guy at that moment. We knew how mad the captain was. He goes in, the captain slams the door shut behind him and starts walking around him, cursing him incessantly. You can hear him all over the building. This man had quite the voice. No wonder he was on an aircraft carrier. But he's saying all kinds of foul things to him. Finally, he says, didn't you check the gas gauge? And Benavides said, yes, sir, I did. When? He said, on my way to the Air Force base. And what was on the gas gauge? He said, well, it was on E. Here's where we broke up. The captain said, and what do you think E stands for? Enough? And we were laughing so hard we had to get out of earshot of the captain. E is enough? Benavides walked out white, sweating, and he lost a stripe for that one. But when you hear a man get that angry who's already captained an aircraft carrier, and he asks you if E means enough, you know, even though he was angry, he must have a sense of humor. Because I don't know who would ask that. But we all burst into laughter. Was it because Benavides was in trouble? No, it was because we had someone say something that broke the tension because we were all scared of what was going to happen next. In Scripture, things happen. Not all the things are good, but sometimes it's pretty funny. We've seen that with Moses. We've seen it with Abraham. Things happen. You heard me last week. Aaron says, oh, I had him give me all the gold. I threw it in the fire and out jumped a calf. No, it didn't. He made it. But things happen in our world, and if we don't see the humor in it, and if we can't laugh, what does that say about God's world? Laughter can come from any source, any time, even from God. If you are what is framed as a very serious person, you need to lighten up. As a counselor, I can tell you it does affect your health if you can't see the humor in situations. Abraham laughed. Sarah laughed. God laughed. Laughter is good for the soul. In the book of Job, Bildad, Job's friend, says this to Job. See, God will not reject a blameless person nor take the hand of evildoers. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. That being said, and only because I know what Jack Carter expects when I do this, and I got John Beeson here, there's a story about these three professionals, and they're having a discussion. You have yourself a physician, an engineer, and then last but not least, no, it's not an attorney, I'm sorry, it's a politician. The physician says, okay, I think we all know that medicine is actually the very first thing that ever came around. It has to be this thing that God, you know, God took a rib out of Adam to make Eve. Therefore, the oldest profession in the world has to be medicine. And the engineer says, that is not true. Keep in mind, it says that God brought the world out of void and chaos. It took an engineer to do that. Engineering is the oldest profession. And the politician leans in and says, and who do you think created chaos? It's the oldest profession. You know, that's the way it works. That is where we are. Even when we look at Scripture, we often ask ourselves these questions. What did God do first? What could we say is first? There's humor in that because there's no way for us to know. We weren't there. We just know what we read. Our God is a God of joy, a God of humor, and a God of laughter, and it is in Scripture, and it is a fact. And why is our God like that? Because God is a God of love. And when you have love, you should, I believe, have joy and humor and laughter. How else can you make a relationship work? A God of love. Let us walk with joy in our hearts, a sense of humor about what life brings our way, and don't forget to laugh. As I said, it's good for the soul. And God proves it over and over in His Scripture. And just a note, if you didn't know this, the ark was three levels. At the top level, they had windows to let light in. You know how they got light in the bottom two parts? They used floodlights. I thought that was really, you know. All right, so. Well, and last but not least, because I was a missionary, what is a missionary's favorite type of car? A convertible. Think about it. Folks, It is a fact that when we don't see the joy in the world that God has given us, when we don't see the joy in the fellowship that God has given us, when we don't see the joy in the Word that God has given us, in the love that He showed through His Son, Jesus Christ, it's a very sorry world. We've got to see the joy in it. We've got to see some humor in there. It's what we do. It's how we are. Take a moment on your Thanksgiving day and laugh. It's good for the soul. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come before You this day, all too often we take life too seriously, and You did not intend that, clearly. Sometimes we don't see the joy. Sometimes we don't see the humor. We ask that You lighten our hearts and our minds, that we may see that which You have given us is so wonderful and worthy of praise, worthy of joy. So be with us and guide us in our going out, that we may reach out to others and show them the joy of being Your child. For we ask this in Your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.